podcast. Today, we have with us the man who puts the jugs on the table. It's Jishnu Guha. Say hi, Jishnu.
Is that about my breastises?
No. I mean, it's just about your name. Jesus, how rude. Okay. And we have the man who puts the uke in. You can't really do that. It's Kunal Rao.
Best intro ever, dude. Best. Just well, I get a ukulele for yeah. one day and people start making fun of me. What the
yes,
hell, man?
This is a reference to the fact that you recently bought a ukulele.
And you
yes,
asked
I bought it
specifically, do I buy a guitar or a ukulele? And I think we all said, buy a guitar.
Actually, everyone no, I said buy a ukulele. Didn't I say ukulele, Kunal?
Yeah, you were the only one who had a conversation with me saying, why do you want it? What's the plan? Blah, blah, blah. And then you're like, you know what? You're right. You might want to start with a uke and then maybe a year later buy a guitar. And I was like, that makes sense. That sounds like a logical thing
somebody
would say to others.
My argument was, if you start with the guitar, then it's very easy a year or even less so down the line to pick up the uke. But after like a couple of weeks worth of playing the uke, those skills aren't necessarily transferable as quickly to a guitar. But if you start on the guitar, if you can master like 3 chords on the guitar, you'll be an ace at 4 chords on the ukulele immediately. Oh. You know what I mean?
All right, okay.
Yeah. Because literally two months.
It's a two-in-one situation. But yeah, I tried to find out why you wanted
so
to play. But
ukes are so cheap and disposable.
This is true.
That's true. Yeah. You can toss one out the window anytime you want. I want you to cover that Zoe Deschanel and Joseph Gordon-Levitt song, Kunal.
Which one is that?
It's the one where they go like, yeah. What are you doing this New Year's Eve?
Yeah.
Very cute. So I will be Jogolo. I will play the guitar and you got to be Zoe Deschanel.
We will eventually. Not right now, right? Because
hopefully not. We'll do it around New Year's Eve, right on time. Anyway, so we began with what I was going for with my intro. It occurred to me just before we started this call was that I should do panel show style intros for you guys. And right after those, we went into random banter, which again is a hallmark of a panel show, because this episode we are talking, guys, about panel shows. Ah, hold for applause. Okay, so let me set the table. Jugs is already on the table, but let me set the table by explaining for the uninitiated what a panel show is. A panel show is essentially a format that mostly began on British television, where a bunch of typically comedians or media personalities in general sit around and discuss a fairly arbitrary topic. So sometimes it's like the news, sometimes it's a quiz show, but essentially the format is an excuse for people, for very funny, witty people to have a funny, witty conversation. Is this correct? How many marks will you give that answer?
I'd give you, if it was long form writing, like English language exam, I would give you about, you know, 6 out of 10, which is really good.
I was going to say 7. Yeah, but
okay.
Sure.
Okay. Yeah, it's a good, yeah, yeah.
But I'm not too concerned because another hallmark of a panel show.
Is being interrupted.
No, a hallmark of a panel show is that the marks actually don't matter or the points.
That's true.
But then if that's a 6 on 10, sir, what is a 10 on 10, considering you are a host of one of these panel shows today?
I don't know. Don't ask me.
You are a 10 on 10 host of a Geek Fruit panel show, the one that we do together. Yeah. God, why would I know that?
Yeah, if you don't know the 10 on 10 answer, then who the hell on that show does?
Because as they say in Three Idiots, it's not the definition that matters.
True.
It's the journey of the writing. It's not a...
Yeah, it's you know, there's a difference between a definition and a distinction. So you just like, we got the gist, man. Why are you putting me into a corner right now? Let's just don't like it's, yeah, I think you're, okay, let's give you a 9 out of 10. Are you happy now?
Okay, yes, I am very happy now. So
riddle me this. No. I'm going to interrupt you.
Oh my God.
Because that's what panel shows do. What is the difference then between how a panel show functions and what late night talk shows have become in the last, say, 7-8 years?
I was just going to get
inherently
to that distinction, actually. So
do we get points for late night for jumping the gun?
No, you get minus points for it. So late night shows are typically about the individual. So Kunal, there was this observation that was discussed with us once on this show about board games that blew my mind. Okay, and I think it applies very much to panel shows as well. So British board games or European board games and American board games have a fundamental difference, typically, which is that European board games tend to be cooperative. So it's like 4 people playing against the game. Okay.
Okay.
As opposed to American game shows, which are American board games, which are competitive. So you have four players playing against each other. So like in Monopoly, it's four players playing against each other. Whereas in...
But Monopoly is a British game.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
the map
of
London.
Correct.
That's what it
okay.
is.
Yeah. So, yeah.
But okay, I see what you mean.
Like
Scotland
example.
Yard
yeah, yeah.
was, yeah, exactly. Like Scotland Yard was four people trying to sort of find Mr.
Exactly.
X, who was one person.
Yeah.
So maybe
yeah.
it was one against four in that case or whatever. But
so,
I see what you mean. Yeah.
yeah. Obviously, it's not like a hard and fast rule where it's the only yeah. way it's done. But traditionally, that's how it began. And it never occurred to me that that was the case. But doesn't that same principle carry over to television also, where the panel show is pretty much a typically British format? Like you might have the occasional exception, like NPR's Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, which is a podcast, is a yeah. panel show in audio form. But like that's maybe one of the few American examples you can think of.
Yeah, and by virtue of being a podcast, it's not really the most hip and happening thing out there that is in the diaspora.
True.
It's so
are you saying
lately,
that the British format is more cooperative because they're a panel show?
It's more
show,
polite,
whereas...
as the Brits are. It's just more polite. It's more like, we're all
yeah.
in this together, aren't we? And the American style is far more me, 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 I. And then when my time
you know,
is
funnily,
done, the host
they
has
say
to
that
pass
about,
the limelight over.
Right. And they say that about stand-up as well, because like stand-up was more of an American thing, which is just one person on stage getting all the attention. Whereas if you see old school British... sort of humor was not stand-up. It was like, you know, your sitcoms of like,
yeah.
You know...
Sketches,
it was
right?
more
and like farce.
Sketches, exactly.
Of.
Yeah. So sketches yeah. was more British, again, cooperative. That's a very interesting...
Like for instance, I can think of... Like when it comes to like comedic duos, besides like a Laurel and Hardy, I think I can name more British and European duos. Even in like...
Because
fictitious.
Of the sketch format, the two
because
Ronnies,
like
the
like your Jeeves
Towers,
and Wooster
blah,
and your...
Blah, yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
The, yeah,
yeah.
I can think
yeah,
of like
yeah,
more
yeah, absolutely.
Group ensembles from like back in the day that are European as opposed
yeah.
to American ones. Even though, you know, am I wrong in thinking that like
I
Laurel
think
and Hardy like really set
duos,
the template?
Sure. I mean, if
there,
you go
oh,
right back to Laurel and
like,
Hardy perhaps, but like there have been... like I would say it's a hazy feel, especially because old school American comedy featured a lot of duos like Elaine May and Mike Nichols used to do Nichols and May. And like, so again, it was a hallmark of the old school talk show thing. So it's a hazy distinction, but it's more the tone. And like you said, I think ensembles were essentially a British thing for the longest time, like your Monty Pythons and so on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Don't you guys think this also applies to talk shows? Like the format of a Graham Norton show or what James Gordon
yep.
does on his show
yep.
now is panel. So it's
yep.
not, I mean, there's still an emphasis on, okay, Dame Judi Dench, tell us about yourself. But it's about the
yeah.
people hanging out together and doing something as a team, as opposed to, say, a Tonight Show, where it's like, all right, so tell me about this new project you're working on. I believe you pulled some pranks on set.
And then he gets
yeah,
off, and then the other guy
yeah,
comes on, right?
That's
yeah,
so
yeah.
true. Like, for me, I find the Graham Norton show is just so freaking funny, man. And I think it's exactly
yeah.
because of that. It's the dynamics of them. So,
yeah.
like, there's this... I love watching compilation clips because there are these clips of best imitations on the Graham Norton show in the
yeah.
last season, blah, blah, blah. And it's just like everybody's riffing off each other and you've usually got one comic on the couch and it's just so much more interesting. Funnily, I think in the middle, Letterman and Jay Leno tried to do that, which is that they would have a guest come on. They'd talk for like 5 minutes. Then after break, the second guest comes on and the first guest just moves to the other
yeah.
side of the couch. But
yeah.
they just, if you see the camera frame,
they don't
it's
say
not
anything.
On
yeah,
that
they
person.
Ignore them. Yeah,
yeah, they just
yeah.
sit there quietly. It's terrible. They
Cavett
That's
did that
weird.
Too a little bit, a couple of times, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, you're right. It could be a cultural thing. Like if you see for us, our comedy is also very like imitation based and it's sort of, as they say, punching upwards. We like to do jokes about like Bollywood stars and blah, you know, do all the mimicry and all that stuff. And it's just a
right.
cultural thing, man.
Yeah, yeah, I think
yeah.
you're right. So, okay. So we've nailed some cultural insights, which is that the British are typically more cooperative, except when they're
now,
colonizing
let's
countries.
Not talk about,
yeah, no.
yeah. yes, exactly.
I mean, they were pretty cooperative with us as well.
Yeah.
They came in, they said,
let's
wait
not get
a
ahead
second.
Of themselves.
You guys have saffron here? Cool. We're coming in. All right, let's
let's not get too caught up on the panel because, on the definition because, I think, you know, these are, definitions are just something that are created to help us understand it. It's not necessarily like,
absolutely.
Oh, but why is it not? Yeah. Why, it's a panel show. You have to call it a panel show and nothing else. I mean, have you seen Neil Patrick Harris's show that he did either? He had one season of it. It was just pure chaos. No. I had no idea what to call it. Was it? I can't even remember, honestly.
I really like NPH. So
How I Met Your Panel?
I don't know. It was something really bizarre. It was like the best, world's greatest ever show ever or something. Some bizarre name
was
like
it
that.
The one where he brought on like odd talents and then they discussed them or something?
Yeah.
Like
he had a talent thing. Then he had an audience interaction which was planned 4 weeks in advance.
Is this, so a, he, is this like that, something to do with like his magic side of things?
He
like,
did magic also. Playing he did singing and dancing and performing. It was very weird. My problem was exactly that. I didn't know what category to put it into. Is it a talk show? Is it a panel show? Is it a just a mixture of everything? It's really, it was really strange. I don't know what it is.
Huh. Okay, we'll investigate that. But let's do this right now. Let's take a break and we'll come back and talk about examples of shows we think fall under the panel show, just like some of our favorites. And we'll find out what Neil Patrick Harris has been up to. I'm just getting him on the phone. And we're back. We're discussing panel shows. Why don't we begin with this? Kunal, tell me about one of your favorite examples of the genre.
Panel shows? Oh, Wilty, man. Would I Lie to You is by far one of the most entertaining shows I've seen in my life. They have consistently delivered. Having said that, it is just because I think they got a good dynamic between David Mitchell and Lee Mack. So it's just really solid. But also I was discussing this with Saurabh Pant the other day and I was like, why is this show so interesting? Why is it so funny? Apart from obviously really good jokes. But you know, with the whole premise is that I'm going to tell you a mini story or an anecdote and you have to guess whether it's a lie or a truth. And you can ask me a few questions, right? And the whole thing is that there's so much tension created around that story. And you're also kind of looking for signs in his body language and his eye contact and what he's saying. And you're challenging his thought process. There's so much tension that the slightest relief is just hilarious, you know? So I really like that format. And, you know, they played around with it. It was, it's fun, man. It's a fun, like, it's really fun show.
How long is that show again? It's
45 minutes.
Yes, yeah.
40, right, okay.
Yeah, now, maybe 40 minutes, yeah.
In the last couple of years, Fallon has been doing a 60 to 90 second version of that, right?
Yeah.
Have you seen his... I forget what it's like, two truths and a lie kind of a thing.
It's called like True Confessions or something like that.
There you go. True Confessions. So
what do you
think of when people like Fallon and in this, you know, let's be real, mainly just late night shows these days, take like the tiniest little bit of an essence from different types of panel shows and try to inject it into a talk show? Do you think that like convolutes things and makes it too much like in too little time or... Is it, or do you like the fact that,
well,
do you think it's working because you allow it the time to breathe in 45 minutes?
Well,
okay,
you're talking about the length of it. Well, there's two ways to go, man. I think Jimmy Fallon is doing it short and, you know, and tight because that bite-sized content really works for the internet. And Fallon is more of a new age kind of guy and he's more concerned with, understands the value of the internet as compared to television, right? So probably creating those 3-4 minute clips. Whereas the British, a longer format of like, say, 45 minutes or whatever, also like we talked about, requires cooperation and you need that consistency across to keep the attention of the audience. So the British probably have mastered it and the Americans haven't. Maybe that's why. But more importantly, I don't think like the ideas, it's not like he's borrow the idea from Would I Lie to You? Like the concept of truth or lie is a very basic thing.
Not from that particular, I'm not saying he's borrowed from that show specifically.
So it's the idea could have come from anywhere. It doesn't necessarily mean that he picked, like, you know what I'm saying? So the most panel show ideas are pretty basic. A quiz, everybody's done that. Like 200, 300 years ago, everybody's done hey, I'm going to tell you something. Is that true? Is that not? I don't know. You know, like those are basic things. I
think what's interesting.
It's okay.
You're right. Yeah. It's not like necessarily lifting the concept, but I think the approach to the same central idea is fundamentally different, which I find kind of interesting, which is that, again, the Jimmy Fallon version of it is quick, snappy. It's about, like, here are the jokes. And it's about very much about riffing on the jokes with the people. So the concept is essentially the person opens up an envelope and says, here's a fact, and you have to guess whether it's true or not. And in Would I Lie to You, it goes into the space of, like, asking questions, making jokes about it. And, like, they spend, what, like, a good 8 to 10 minutes on a single question. As opposed to Fallon, where it's like, I'm genuinely trying to find out whether this is true or false because I'm interested in the fact, as opposed to Would I Lie to You, where the eventually the story becomes kind of a moot point and it's more about, like, let's have a fun conversation. One of my favorite examples on the Jimmy Fallon version of it was when Pete Davidson and John Mulaney were on, and Pete Davidson told this fact about how as soon as he joined Saturday Night Live, Lorne Michaels was like, cool, you want to go on a holiday to, like, Barbados with me? And John Mulaney was like, of course that's a lie. Lorne Michaels hates everyone. He hated me when I came there. And Pete Davidson says, no, it's actually true. And John Mulaney's face just drops, like, what? What? So it's about that fact. Where, as opposed to if the same thing happened on Would I Lie to You, it would be like just, it would go into like, okay, here's a story of when I first met Lorne Michaels and how, what did he first say to you? It would go into that space.
Right, yeah. It's a, the format is slightly different. I think it goes back to what you, what we said, which is that it's a bite size versus long format. And I think they're just trying to figure this out. Like, and I guess that's why we also, I mean, ultimately, even Would I Lie to You has rounds. Like, it's not, you know, they'll have a guest, some guest come in and say, okay, this guy is my XYZ. And is that true or false? So they're mixing it up because how long can you stretch one story? Well, I like Jimmy, who literally does rounds in like 30 seconds and 40 seconds and stuff like that. Yeah.
Right.
Jishnu, what's one of your
favorites? Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, like, one of my favorites, we mentioned Wait, Don't Tell Me. Kunal, have you heard that show?
It sounds familiar, but I, for some reason, I feel like I haven't seen it.
It's a podcast that's been around for about a, maybe more than a decade.
Yeah.
Or something like that. It's an American NPR show. Three panelists. It's a news, it's called the NPR News Quiz, hosted by Peter Sagal, who I think is a friggin' genius. And it's had two co-hosts on it, and three comedians every week, and they just riff on the news and stuff. But the particular thing that I want to bring up with regard to this True Confessions, Would I Lie to You kind of thing, is a segment that they have called Bluff the Listener. And that, I'm wondering where you think that fits in, because that premise is caller calls in and he's like, hello, okay, what's up? Now sit quietly and listen to three stories. One of them is, only one of them is true. Just identify the true story, and that's it. And they are completely random. They have nothing to do with the news. It's the one time, apart from when they have a celebrity guest interview, which is also a totally random game about nothing in particular, where the panelists, who are comedians, are allowed to, well, at least two out of the three, are allowed to completely go balls to the wall crazy and write whatever the hell they want. And by nature of the show, with the time, with the kind of questions and the stories they tell about the quiz, sorry, about the news rather, they're all outlandish stories. They're like, can you believe this is the world we're living in? Which today is not hard to believe in the Trump era. But in this one segment, they're allowed to go on for like a good 3 minutes each, which is quite a long time to just riff. But like, so Jack and Jill went up the hill and then a spaceship came down and Mars rover showed up and then a dinosaur came and ate the guy and like anything and whatever the hell. And somehow the third one, which is true, is equally balls to the wall.
Bizarre.
So, where do you think that fits in? Because that is just one person going on a rant and then the listener just doesn't get to ask questions, but just has to like sit and deal with, you know, I just heard three whacked out stories.
I mean, it's a great concept. And obviously that whole show, I obviously haven't heard it. It's a great concept. And I think the whole show probably sticks to the bizarre news kind of a format. So listening to, so this is the thing, right? Like I was, I feel like even if you look at quiz shows, like Big Fat Quiz of the Year, right? My, the best thing about the quiz show, Big Fat Quiz of the Year, is the way they do the questions, right? The fact that they get Jon Snow, who is this really posh 70-year-old newsreader, to translate lyrics of songs into sort of news language. And you know, just you have to guess the song from, it's that that's interesting. The question itself is interesting. And I think that's what they probably did with this, which is that the fact that you have two, you're giving the opportunity to two comedians to just make up any shit story that they want, that it just becomes fun. And I think a lot of this stuff is really you're sort of leaning in, and you want to, you're listening and you're interested because you're curious about what's the story, and that's what holds the audience attention. It's not even like it's not even about the truth or the lies, right? It's about just how do you reel them in, and it's that like I said, the tension that they've created. What a great concept! And I mean, I'm just amazed that people come up with fantastic like ideas like that. I think it's great.
Agreed. Okay, let's do this again. We will take a break. We'll come back and I'll talk about one of my quintessential examples of a panel show. That's a hint. And maybe we'll discuss some of the more bizarre concepts that have been around as well. Right after this break. Welcome back. We are discussing panel shows. So I wanted to bring up what I think is almost the perfect example of a classic British panel show, which is QI. Have you guys watched much of it?
Ooh.
I haven't seen much, but I've seen a little bit, yeah.
So QI is a very long-running panel show, essentially, where the concept is it's loosely structured as a quiz. QI stands for Quite Interesting. Because the premise is that the host will ask a question, not in like a, all right, give me the answer for 20 points kind of way, but more in like a, do you think you know about this? And then everyone will kind of venture a guess, and you're given points not for getting the right answer necessarily, but for bringing up an interesting fact. For example, once when Daniel Radcliffe was on and they discussed some sort of ancient runes or something, he came in with like, well, actually, when I was doing some research for one of my movies, I found out these facts about it. And they were like, well, that's amazing. So notionally, they're given points for that. But essentially, it's basically about discussing interesting facts with jokes peppered in. And there's a very calm energy to the show where it's unlike a lot of panel shows. There isn't this need to like, all right, someone has riffed, so I better jump in and do like my own riffs. It's very laid back. The emphasis isn't on comedy. It's more like just very funny people having an interesting conversation as opposed to being funny, which I really like. It used to be hosted by Stephen Fry for like ages.
Which is the only reason I watched it.
Because it was
wait, he's out now? Like,
yeah, now it's hosted by Sandy Toskwig, who is also a legend and a treasure. She's incredible. So yeah, don't knock it because Stephen is
Oh no, I haven't seen. Yeah, I haven't seen it since. But then again, I haven't.
No, I agree, and I think they're also in that show. They got the combination of people right, which is they only have one comic on the panel. That's just Alan Davies and nobody else. The rest are rotating.
The recurring
right?
one, yes.
So the recurring one is just Alan. So he's the only really like comic. Even Stephen Fry is kind of like slowed down on his comedy, and he's just become this nerdy old man, which is amazing. I love him. But that balance comes because of that, because it's okay. The focus is clearly just interesting stuff.
Yeah.
But they cover some really random topics, man.
Absolutely, which is kind of the fun of it, right? Like the spin-off podcast from QI is called No Such Thing as a Fish. And that name comes from one of the famous segments on that show, which is when Stephen Fry talks about this man who spent his entire life researching aquatic life and fish. And eventually he came to the conclusion, no, there's no such thing as a fish, which basically means...
What is that even? What?
So what he meant was like after spending so much time deeply studying aquatic life, he was like, a fish is the most arbitrary classification we can come up for a species. It's not like you say, well, here are bears and there are very specific things that cover the family of bears and then you have different species of bears. Fish are so diverse that it's like saying, well, everything above land is a certain name. You know, it just doesn't make sense. So, and like, that's the most, you don't even think about that necessarily. But
I love that.
Right? And so that became the basis
like
for the podcast. Yeah, exactly.
It's like, that's racist. Like, you're saying every alien is just the same or what? What's wrong?
Yeah.
So every alien is from Mars? What bullshit? Like,
Yeah,
if you think about it, funny. We've classified like a shark and a goldfish under the same broad family. So,
well, to be fair, we've kind of named, I mean, above land, everything is just an animal. So they kind of have that as well. And everything that flies is a bird. So...
True.
I mean, it's fine, right?
But I'm not debating
fish,
the
right?
science with you. It's
Wait,
fine. I'm just saying that this is the kind of interesting conversation that comes up.
Yeah.
Aren't birds animals?
You're right. A bird is an animal, actually. You're right.
Yeah,
so are fishes. Fishies, as I like to call them.
Fishies.
Jishnu, give us a couple more of your favorites.
I don't have many, man.
Aren't you a big Never Mind the Buzzcocks boy?
Not a big one. But that's the thing. Like, I've just floated with panel shows. Like, because like the thing is, with QI as an example, I've always gone to it because I knew this one particular person was there who I like so much that I'm happy to just spend time with them regardless of who's around them. If I'm lucky, it's going to work. But that's kind of why I've always been far more drawn to a traditional kind of a quiz, like a more structured kind of just I hate to admit it, but like a
Bonvita quiz contest,
like a BQ.
Love that show.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's a great show.
Yeah.
It's kind of like it's more straightforward sure. and right down the middle. Because if I want the panel vibe, then I would watch a Graham Norton, which I love, but that's not a quiz.
Yeah,
you know. So I like to create more of a distinction. Like, I'm always in the mood for one or the other. And if I want what a panel show offers, which is the chat, then I'll go to a chat kind of a show. Like, I'll end up watching like an old school Michael Parkinson interview for like 60 minutes where he's got two or three people or like a Dick Cavett kind of a thing. I'm really dating myself. But yeah.
Yeah, you are.
I watch those kind of things because I'm in it for the chat. And if I want the quizage, then I'll go to a quiz. I'm not too much of a panel guy myself.
Do you think that's because? Go ahead, Kunal.
Go ahead, Dinkar.
Oh wow! How polite! You're like on a real panel.
You're the host.
I was just going to say that I think, do you think that's because on a Graham Norton show, for example, you're familiar with the guests beforehand? Like, I found that on QI. Or like any panel show I watch, a lot of the time I'll come in not necessarily having ever heard of the comedian before and then just get to know them through the panel itself.
Right. Yeah, like, see, I'll give for instance, I think the only reason that I stuck through with Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is because unlike a panel show where the subject matter is arbitrary, and while it's funny, I'm sure it's almost always funny, the good thing that Wait Wait offered me, which is what kept me going, is the fact that I know that every week I'm going to learn something that's relevant to, you know, the news today, right? And it's going to be funny. And so, like, for me as a news source. It genuinely does function as a news source.
This makes sense to me. So the thing is that, like, ultimately we're all watching this content because it's entertainment. It's entertainment, right? But entertainment itself is so wide, right? There's just, I just want to go for a laugh. I want to see something interesting. I want to learn something. I want to watch something to get my mind off what I'm living through right now. And I feel like it depends on where you are on that spectrum. Like, sometimes if I really just want to learn something new, then I'm going to watch the news or I'm going to watch a quiz show specifically that doesn't have comedians. But if I want to also just sit back and relax a little bit, I'll watch a panel show that has a little bit of entertainment. And if and sometimes I just want to know something about a movie that's releasing and I want to say, oh, wait, let me go and see Tom Cruise's interview on Graham Norton or blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
so I'll do that. So it just, because entertainment is so wide, there's just this, and it depends on that day, man. Like today, I was like, I'm really feeling like I want to watch something really heavy and interesting. Let's watch QI. You know, it's kind of that, right? Because it's a lot of like nerdy information and you just want to do that on that particular day. So I think it's just that, man.
But like nicely spaced out. Like another thing I enjoy about QI is that the conversation is so laid back. You kind of almost have to like listen a little carefully because it's like someone will say something in passing that's hilarious, but they're not like, they're not selling it. They're not pushing on it, you know? They're just like, here's a great, great joke. Kunal,
feel like they should do a little bit of an edit on QI sometimes to like cut down the spaces in between.
I think you have to get into the rhythm of it. Like I always, I didn't dip into the show for the longest time. But from the start of 2020 in particular, like I would occasionally just pop in and watch like an episode of QI. But from the start of 2020, for some reason,
dude, 2020 was over in March.
Correct. So from Jan to March, roughly, I got into the habit of watching like pretty much an episode a day just because I kind of really got into the flow of it. And there's like a huge archive of episodes because they've been going on for so long. So yeah, it is very interesting.
Yeah, man, these British shows, because they do like 6 to 8 episodes per season, they go on for like 28, 30, 40 seasons and whatnot, man.
Yeah.
Like I was looking up, what is the show? Never Mind the Buzzcocks did 28 seasons in like some 14, 15 years. It's insane.
Absolutely insane.
Love it.
Now, one of the features of these panel shows is, of course, the fact that there are these guests who guest, like typically comedians, but often like just radio presenters or television hosts who recur across multiple shows and sometimes are essentially cast members on a single show. So do you guys have favorite guests?
I always love Ayoade.
Ayoade is great.
Oh, he's funny, yeah.
Yeah.
The thing with Ayoade is that he makes sense because he's the complete opposite comedian of all the other comedians. Like, he's just, his energy is different and he's slower when he talks and he enunciates and he's not quickly going for the punch. So seeing that contrast is just really entertaining. But how are you asking me for a favorite guest? That's a little
tell you some of mine. For not a favorite guest, but who are people you enjoy on panel, right? Like, I love Richard Iyer as well. I think you're right in that he plays really well when he's paired with someone. So like him and Noel Fielding are such a great combo, because Noel is like kind of nuts and Richard Iyer is just like, not right now. On Travel Man, he's again great because...
he's amazing in Travel Man. I love him.
Yeah, because like basically it's a travel show he hosts where he hates travel, and he goes somewhere with a guest. And
he's very Mr. Bean. He's very Mr. Bean who can speak in that show.
Exactly. Okay, some of my favorite guests. I really enjoy David Mitchell on Would I Lie to You is great, and he's typically like always really funny. Again, in a very smart way. He's not jumping into conversation a lot. He'll just like occasionally pop in and say something really witty and then like lean back and go like, my work here is done. So he's great.
Yeah.
There are some comedians like Nish Kumar, who is a British Indian dude who's been on multiple stuff that...
And he's a great. Little underrated actually. Like he's got his own show as well now, but he's quite underrated. Yeah.
What about...
I really like Russell Howard.
Russell Howard is great.
Because he's very consistent. And let's not forget a classic Frankie Boyle who is just so... like impolite. It's hilarious. It is just so funny. Frankie Boyle on like his Mock the Week, was it Have I Got News for You? He's consistently given completely out of the box shit. It's really fun. Yeah, I mean it's hard to pick. There's so many. And
isn't it kind of crazy how many Bill Bailey or like Catherine Ryan? That's just like, it's like there's every time a new person pops up, I'm like, Where were these people? And then you like look them up and it's like, oh, she's a very famous television presenter. I'm like, are there just so many nice, funny, witty people in the UK?
Dude, has Graham Norton ever been on panels?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, he's been on QI multiple times.
Has he? Okay, oh, yes? I haven't seen those. Okay. I'd love to see. Because I really enjoy seeing hosts on the other side of the couch.
Like Jimmy Carr is on panel a lot and he's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Mm. He's great.
So here's one thing that I realized about these panel shows is there's I actually kind of put them into two categories. Like there's the stuff that is very specifically topic driven. So there's a news comedy, there's a news panel show, this is a quiz show, this is a whatever, a music quiz show, general quiz show, etc. And then you've got stuff like 8 out of 10, not 8 out of 10, you've got Countdown, you've got which are basically stuff about, these are panel shows about just themselves. Like Would I Lie to You is actually them telling truths about themselves, or it's the same with Countdown. They're just solving anagrams and solving math problems, and it's just them being funny on an everyday basis. And I find that so much more, like, it's such a simple idea, but yet it just works so nicely. So you don't have to like study for this shit and come, you know what I mean? It's just being yourself.
Yeah.
And it kind of works out really nicely, man.
On that note, before we close out, I realize we haven't talked about one of my favorite panel shows.
I asked you and you refused to answer, Jishnu.
And simultaneously plug our show, you idiot.
Why would I know that?
Oh, that's a good show.
Tell us about this show, Jishnu, because I don't know.
I don't know.
I really like the host.
It's very inexplicable. It's chaos to me. I've been on it twice and I regretted nothing more greatly in my life. But no, where did, speaking as host and what should we call you? Head writer, Dinkar Dwivedi. I don't know what position you would like to maintain.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Dinkar is nothing more than a bloody scorekeeper. Tell us. Yeah,
actually, we haven't talked about this, Kunal. How did you choose to do something like this? Has this always been on your mind that you always wanted to do a quiz show?
Became a comedian in 2009 or 10, I would say, full-time in 11. And by 2013, I want to do a panel show because I liked exactly what we talked about, the camaraderie thing where you're like riffing off each other. And I feel like it's very interesting stuff. Although a lot of the British panel shows are edited, that's fine. But I knew I wanted to do that. And it's just been sitting on my plate. I never got around to executing it.
Was this in tandem with your stand-up stuff and EIC sketches and all that?
Parallelly.
Was it all kind of jumbled in your head as one, as like, or... When
we started out, we didn't know what we were doing. We didn't know how to go about these things. And I didn't know, you know, how do I organize something like this, you know? So there are a lot of other issues with it. So it was there at the back of my mind. And then one day I just had this epiphany. I was like, fuck, these guys, Geek Fruit guys, are the right people for it, because that's exactly the kind of zone that I'm looking at. And then, you know, picked up the phone, called Dinkar and Tejas, and like we locked it in 6 minutes, I think, right?
Dinkar? I remember exactly when it happened.
That's
in fact,
most things we do get locked.
So
yeah.
I was at a stand-up show, like an open mic, where you happened to be performing. So I remember I was walking by and you were like, hey, Dinkar. And I was like, yo, what's up? And we spoke for like 30 seconds. And then I went into the show and then you suddenly went, wait, I have to talk to you about something. And I was like, sure. And then like a day later, you called me up and went like, okay, I've always wanted to do this panel quiz show. And I said, done. Because like I had the same thought, like I've always thought this is something that's desperately needed out here. And I was like, let's do it, man. Because I already had like a Google Keep note filled with ideas where I was like, okay, when we do the panel show, like there's this in mind. And Tejas and I had discussed it like multiple times. So we instantly were on board. And the rest is history.
We've done two shows.
Hey, we've done two live shows, one online show and one online, but without an audience show. That's quite a bit. We've done four episodes. Yeah. I'm impressed. I think for me, again, like I was a little loose on the idea in the upfront because I didn't know whether I want to have just comedians on the show or we mix it up with other people and celebrities and things like that. And I think it's still evolving. And I do feel that, you know, you never know, the show might be completely different a year from now. But the idea is to use any format that just holds it together. It's just fun, man. It's just really fun.
Have you worked out your elevator pitch for when you go on Hot Ones and you have 60 seconds to plug it at the end?
No, I haven't. I don't think we're ready yet, honestly. So
we'll do the pitch.
I threw the ball up in the air and you watched it like collapse through the earth.
I would
the
say my elevator
planet.
Pitch is a 60-second trailer that we've released on my Instagram.
Great.
And there'll be more coming on your... there will be more clips from our online editions of the show in particular on your YouTube and our Instagram most likely. So where can people follow you, Kunal, to find out about your comedy and the next edition of Why Would I Know That?
Best place to catch me is YouTube and Instagram, where I am at Kunal Rao, both cases. And also you can catch me at Geek Fruit once a year.
Correct.
Where I do one podcast.
I believe I've also seen you on the Ukulele Masters subreddit.
Yeah, sure. Why not? I forgot about the Masters subreddit. I have to look. I was only looking at the expert level subreddit.
Correct. All right.
Oh, also, by the way, I found out what that Neil Patrick Harris show is called. It's called Best Time Ever. And it's called a live television variety show.
Nice. Oh. How appropriate. Because
I don't even know whether it's a panel show or not.
It's.
I mean, isn't
well,
that like
a variety
every,
show you just said
like,
so.
Isn't that like an America's Got Talent or whatever the hell? Like, isn't it like it's,
yeah,
any
I
show
don't,
that's,
I don't know.
But would it involve a panel of judges that make fun of the contestants?
Like America's Got Talent.
Oh, sure, yeah.
And American Idol and The Voice and every other freaking,
The Voice doesn't make fun of the contestants, okay? Let's put this on record. Do not make fun of The Voice. It is the best show ever.
Agreed.
After Why Would I Know That?
Yeah. All right, Kunal, that's an appropriate note to end on, because having you on the show has been the best time ever. And that was the lie.
Oh, wow.
All right.
Thanks, guys. It was good fun, man.
It was.
I hope to come back on more chats.
Follow Kunal, follow Geekfruit on @GeekfruitHQ on all the socials, and we will see you next week. Bye-bye, you nerds.